so faithful to us. We do nothing to earn your love, yet you pour it out freely. Your grace overflows. Thank you for this time, for this space that we can gather to worship you. No matter what we're going through, Lord, let us lift that up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give a hand to the worship band? Thank you. Well, my name is Tim, and yes, my resemblance to last week's speaker is uncanny, but we digress. Today, we're going to be in the book of Job. And for those of you who were here when Yuen spoke, I'm not going to be speaking on Eliphaz. I'm going to be speaking on the character Job. And now the book of Job is a very interesting book. It's a little long, but it's worth the read. We're going to be continuing the series, Character, Formed by the Story of God. And today, I'm going to share about a hard reality we may not want to talk about. And that is suffering. Here's a question I want to throw out there. Why do good people suffer? This is part of a topic called theodicy, and I don't want to dive too deeply into this, but philosophers and theologians have different theories to answer this question. And we're actually not going to answer this question because the framing of the question is incorrect. To look at it in a different mindset, we're going to be looking at why people suffer, not at why people suffer, but explore how God is there when we suffer by looking at the character of Job. Now, if you want to join me, I'm going to be reading in a few different places of Job. It may be easier to follow on the screen behind me, but if you're up for the challenge, we're going to be starting in chapter 1 and then going to chapter 3 and then finishing in chapter 38. I'm going to read the scripture, and then after I'll give a little synopsis of kind of what's happening through the story, and then focus on those key verses. And so in chapter 1, verse 1, we start, "In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. And this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East." And now in chapter 3, it reads, "After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. He said, 'May the day of my birth perish, and the night that said, a boy is conceived. That day, may it turn to darkness. May God above not care about it. May no light shine on it. For sighing has become my daily food. My groans pour out like water. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, only turmoil.'" And then in chapter 8, God responds after a few chapters in between, and he says, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know." I want to set up the context for Job's character. You see, Job is a man from the land of Uz, which is east of Egypt in the northern Arabia region. Job is not Jewish, and yet he's described as a man who was blameless and upright and knew God since he feared him and shunned evil. Job was wealthy, given the description of his possessions, his land, wife, and his numerous children. However, Satan enters the picture and tells God, Job is only righteous and upstanding because he has all these possessions, all these things. And so God tells Satan he can take away Job's possessions, but not to harm Job physically. So Job's livestock dies, his children die, and he's only left with good health. And then Satan talks with God and says Job still hasn't blamed God because he has good physical health. So then God allows Satan to cause physical suffering to Job with sores all over his body, but not to kill Job. Job's wife then tells Job to curse God, and his friends Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar come to see him, weeping and tearing their clothes at the sight of him, and sat with him in silence for 7 days. And it's after that silent period Job speaks in chapter 3, cursing his birthday, and states that he finds no peace and no rest. And so here's the first thing I want us to look at. Job never curses God for his suffering, but he does question God. We see Job curse his birthday. He explains he has no peace or rest, only turmoil. Job is covered from head to toe in sores. He's lost almost everything. And his wife and friends, who are supposed to comfort and support him, say just the right thing to hurt him even more and cause him emotional suffering. Right? He's not only physically suffering with his health, but he is emotionally suffering with the loss of his children, his lineage, and is suffering in his faith because of everything that he's lost. And so a question I want us to ponder is, when has there been a time in your life that you felt no peace or rest, but only turmoil? Perhaps you've lost a loved one close to you before it was their time to go. Maybe you've experienced a loss in the form of finances, or you experienced some sort of loss in expectations of a situation. It's in those moments when everything hurts that our faith is heavily tested and our character is defined. It's one thing to praise God and trust God when things are going smooth, but what about when life decides to punch us in the stomach? Job shows us that although things may be chaotic and we experience deep suffering, we shouldn't curse God. That doesn't mean we can't question God. You see, God can feel far away, and we may even experience abandonment from God. Even Jesus, when he was on the cross, quoted Psalm 22, where he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? In a pinnacle moment of extreme physical suffering, Jesus questions God. And yet even here, this isn't cursing God, but asking questions. And we can learn from Job and his experience of loss that cursing God isn't the answer. But lamenting and questioning is a form of relief and release we can use. Job later says on in chapter 7, verses 20 and 21, he says, what have I done to you, Lord? You who see everything we do. Why have you made me a target? Have I become a burden to you? When we question God, it's a form of lament. You see, lament is a word that means we express our deepest sorrows and longings to God, questioning God as to why things are happening, and pleading for God to move in action. It is an acknowledgement that things aren't the way they should be, and wanting God to act. See, lament has a format. It's not just unbridled anger, but a formula to start a process of healing. It goes like this. Address God, you explain the situation and the pain that you're feeling. You request God to help and move. And then finally, at the end of the lament process, is trust. Just because we ask questions or lament, that doesn't mean we're going to get an answer right in that moment or that we like. Right? We might not get an answer at all. And you see, Job questions God, but God doesn't explain why Job suffers. So that's the next thing I want us to look at in Job's story. God doesn't answer Job's question, at least not directly. God responds with, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. It's a very humbling series of questions God makes to Job and helps us to put into perspective our place in the world, right? We may cry out to God, question God, and yet God doesn't have to answer our questions. He doesn't owe us that. And we have to realize that the state of this world and how it's in the continual process of being made new. Christ has come, but it is in this time, while we wait for Christ's return, that there is a never-ending amount of injustice, evil, and suffering that occurs. And when suffering does happen to us, and yes, it will happen, we can remember Job's story and how he handled his suffering. God doesn't discourage Job from questioning, and he doesn't accuse Job of slander, but reorients Job to see who God is. When God answers Job by asking him a series of questions in chapter 38 through 40, it shows that God was listening and watching Job. And that's the third piece we can learn from Job. We know that God listens and watches us no matter what circumstances we are in. You see, this is part of the lament process that I was getting at. We can question God, we can scream at God, and even feel abandonment from him. The Spirit stirs in us that something isn't right when we see injustice, when we look at the news and see the atrocities of war, when we see natural disasters wipe out families and homes, or when we experience losses that lack all rationale. All those situations where we cry or shout in anger, that's all a form of prayer. And God listens to that. He listens to us because we have a relationship with him. And yet, despite these circumstances, we trust in God. We know God is faithful to his promises. But it may not necessarily feel like that in the moment. Let's take a look at Job again. Job wanted to die, lost almost everything important to him, and still doesn't curse God, but demands God answer as to why this is happening. God sees Job's afflictions and hears Job's prayers. But God doesn't say, Job, this is the reason why I'm allowing Satan to do these things. Nor does God say, Job, you know what? I'm going to restore you and heal you and make everything better. God never says that. God answers Job with a series of questions that have these two truths. God is God, and we are not. And another thing I want to take away from this story is that God listens and watches our experience of suffering, and it is Christ who went through them with us. I asked at the beginning of the sermon, why do good people suffer? And then I said that that was an ill-framed question. Right? It makes it seem like God loves it when his creation suffers. And that is a lie. Why even put Job through all of this? Why let Satan do this to Job? But when we ask these kinds of questions, we miss the point. In Christ's life and death, he endured the brutality of humanity. Job shows us we can ask questions when our suffering occurs. And Christ relates to us on an emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual level when we experience our suffering. Job suffered great losses and questioned God as to why these things occurred. The book of Job or the Psalms are a great place to go if you're feeling doubt or God's distance, but I want us to remember that we are not alone. The Trinity is not some distant entity. Christ experienced pain on this earth, and he experiences pain with us and empathizes with us when we are going through the darkest of times. And we may try to avoid suffering. Here in the U.S., we have a relatively comfortable life compared to first century Christians or compared to other people around the world in 2025. But Christ doesn't call us to live comfortably. He calls us to pick up our crosses daily. That is, Christ calls us into a life of suffering. Now, I'm not saying we need to search out suffering, but we also need to see our lives and see what walls we put up to make ourselves comfortable. In what ways do we barricade ourselves to block out suffering? Do we put up emotional walls and close ourselves off so that we can't be vulnerable with others? Do we ignore news articles talking about the casualties of war or the people affected by the administration we have? Do we scroll on social media and skip over things that may seem uncomfortable to read? I'm not saying we need to search out suffering or be pessimistic about the world, but we need to see the darkness in order to bring light to it. We're called to bring light to the darkest of places because we are Christ followers. We will experience the dark places and should not turn a blind eye to the darkness of the world. Christ went to the dark places. Christ experienced suffering emotionally, being betrayed by one of his close friends. He experienced physical suffering with his torture that led to his eventual death. And he experienced spiritual suffering, feeling forsaken on the cross. And yet, he rose from the grave to spread light and life after experiencing that darkness. Job experienced darkness, but there is light at the end of his story. However, that doesn't mean Job is apathetic to what happened in his life. Job has scars. You see, I want to hone in on the end of Job's story. At the end, God restores Job's livestock and rebuilds his family, blessing him with 14 more kids, and lives a long and full life. The end of Job's story is not to say that every single one of us is going to be blessed with abundance. Like, that is simply not true. But I want to focus on what is not explicitly said. You see, Job, his health is physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally nourished. But I don't know if he is ever completely restored. When we experience suffering that stays with us, we may be healed and move past those times, but those memories of his lost children, about the deep pain he went through, about the deep pain we felt when we experienced suffering, that stays with us. That changed Job. We have scars, and those tell us stories about something that happened. And I don't want to say how Job felt or this way or that way, but I know if I were Job, I wouldn't forget about the family that I had before or the suffering that I went through. God doesn't want us to forget what happens to us. The series of events that we live and the decisions we make form our character. And like Job, when things are chaotic in life and we experience suffering, we can cry out to God. We can ask God, Lord, where are you? Don't you see the evil that is happening? Why don't you move? And like Job, we may get answers we don't necessarily want, or we may not even get answers at all. God doesn't owe us answers, though we may feel like it. And it may be easy for me to say this now, so I'll tell you a story of when I was in a lot of emotional pain and questioned God like Job. My grandpa Bill was a silly man. He taught at UC Riverside. He knew English, Spanish, German, French, Portuguese, and was learning New Testament Greek before he had his first seizure. And after his second seizure, he was hospitalized. And over the course of several months, was in a care facility until he eventually passed away. And this was the last time I saw him in September of 2023. Where I told him I would teach him Old Testament Hebrew as part of my seminary studies, and we would trade notes so that he could teach me New Testament Greek. But we never got to trade those notes. I never understood why a man who was an academic and did so much for the church was reduced to barely eating, in pain most of the time, and only remembered small fragments of his life. To this very day, I don't have those answers. God didn't speak to me or show me any signs as to why this happened to my grandpa. But I trust God, and I know the Spirit was with us when we buried him, and I know Christ was beside me as I wept and mourned his loss. I want to invite the band back up. You see, Job shows us that it's okay to lament and question God, and that we are welcome to experience these emotions as humans. God listens and watches over us. Christ is beside us in the suffering. And the Spirit is in us while we experience the losses of this life. We not only have the Trinity, but our community. You see, on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it, giving thanks and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." And after he took the cup, he poured wine to it and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." And you see, here at Discovery, we take communion together. Christ was in community leading up to his death. We partake in this meal together in remembrance of his sacrifice for us, knowing he suffered for us and knows our pain when we suffer in this life. And we'll have prayer available on either side of the stage. And if you feel the Spirit move in you, that you are going through something now, if you are suffering and don't feel like God is near, come up for prayer and we will listen and lament with you. As we prepare to take communion together, may we know that we are not alone and that God listens to our prayers, that we know of his covenant faithfulness in our relationship with him in eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a pretty heavy topic. And it's something, though, that every single person will experience in this life, that is suffering. But Lord, we are not alone in that. We have one another, and we have you who experienced the pinnacle of suffering. Lord, you empathize with us whatever we are going through. No matter what situation we are in, Christ, you are with us. Lord, may we remember that when we are experiencing suffering in this life, that you are there with us, that we are not forgotten, that you hear us, listen to us, that you cry with us. Lord, thank you for listening, watching, and for empathizing with us. In Jesus' name, amen.